The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday season is just around the corner, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. A big chunk of gingerbread that you can enjoy without it going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap also. And at almost 5 ounces, this soap should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Are you Gus's son?
I'm Owen. You the shower curtain fella?
Yeah, Del Griffin.
How are you?
This is Neil Page from Chicago.
Hi. Pleased to meet you both. I'm to drive you to Wichita to catch a train?
Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
Train don't run out of Wichita.
Hmm?
Unless you're a hog or a cattle. People train runs out of stub, Bill.
That'll be fine.
That'll
be just fine. Leave it be. Get your lazy behind out here and put that trunk up in the back.
Oh, no, the work, we've got it.
It's very heavy.
She don't mind. She's short and skinny, but she's strong. Her first baby come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
Isn't that something? You're a real trooper. We've got it! We've got it already! It's done!
Happy Thanksgiving!
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, November 19, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there.
Hello.
We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need free legal advice, look no further than thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or just click the link in the podcast page, and Charles Bowen will give you all the free legal advice you want. Well, maybe not all of that, but enough to answer a question I'd have about the law. Okay, welcome to our Thursday show. Just by way of a programming note, of course, the next week is the Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving!
And so there will not be a show next Thursday, nor will there be an after party on Friday. Because, quite frankly, we need the time off.
Agreed.
To, you know, eat and sleep. Two very important things for growing young men. So, you'll have to wait till the week after for the other shows. But we'll be doing a show on Thursday. I mean, on Tuesday, next Tuesday, be a show and a postmortem show. But then it's like, so long, suckers. We go and we start eating and sleeping and drinking too. Okay, by the way, we're only $4 away from the, holy crap, only $4 away from the $4,000 mark on Patreon, patreon.com/Bob and Chez.
We're this money.
Just like this close, just four more dollars. So someone comes in at the $5 mark sometime within the next hour or so, we'll be well over the $4,000 line, we'll be crossing that line.
Light up that wheelchair, kids.
That means only $3,500 more dollars after that until we reach our goal of $7,500. Unless, of course, you're counting the ultimate goal, which is the $10,000 level, which means I just post a shirtless picture on Facebook or something, or Patreon, which is no incentive whatsoever. One of our listeners posted on Twitter, I'm a 70-year-old man. I don't want to see your shirtless body.
Oh, I can think of quite a few 70-year-old women who'd like to see that.
By the way, go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez, and you can see the brand new spiffy-looking Patreon interface. They redesigned the Patreon site, and it's sharp. It looks. Cool. I actually really, really like the new design. Sometimes they'll roll out a new design. Like on Facebook, they'll roll out a new layout for the pages, and it'll freak me out because I fear change. This was good change, because finally, instead of seeing all the posts all kind of scattered all around on the page, where you don't know which one's the newest one because they're kind of side by side and just kind of all over the place, now it's just sort of a straight down kind of blog format listing of all the latest rewards, which in our case are the commercial free not safe for work show, postmortem show, and the after party. Now it's just a nice long convenient organized list, which I like a lot. I like it a lot. So go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up to become a supporter of the show. We're so damn close to our goal. And then plus you can see all the spiffy new listings for all of the rewards that you get for being a supporter of the show. So thank you in advance for that. Also, I guess, you know, the fallout from the attack in Paris continues, especially here domestically. Where basically the Republican Party has used this as an excuse to just be phenomenal a-holes.
It's just shameful. We've entered a very, very dangerous time.
I mean, again, this is stuff that...
When you put all of their latent xenophobia in a place where it can become, in a situation where it can become active, just hate-filled xenophobia.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real problem.
I mean, we've basically rewound the clocks in xenophobia to 2001, to late 2001, after 9/11, where we saw all the same kind of crap. Although I would wager that it's actually a little bit more vocal now, especially given the fact that it wasn't even an attack inside the United States. It was an attack on France, for God's sake. Yeah. The Freedom Fries people.
Yeah, but I think that they're just tired. The xenophobes and the people who hate Muslims in general as a rule are just tired of having to have lived with this for 15 years and not be allowed. Because remember, at first they weren't allowed to say anything by, you know, Republicans were the ones saying, look, you know what, this isn't a war on Islam. And now it's just they've lived with this for 15 years. And now, especially with the Democrat in the White House, who they hate, they're just coming out with just vitriol aimed at Islam and at Muslims.
Yeah.
I disagree with Islam, but that does not mean that I'm going to, you know, lump all Muslims in as terrorists. As one guy at a town meeting did, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
There's video that's been posted now of, so I can't even remember where the hell it happened, but some poor schlub wants to open like a mosque.
Yeah.
Because his Muslim community outgrew the local mosque. So, you know what? That's like how we want to create a new mosque. And this guy who looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin, only I won't insult Stone Cold Steve Austin because he's actually pretty cool, stands up and just yells at this guy, all Muslims are terrorists. Shut your mouth. All Muslims are terrorists. And it's like, okay, all right, dude.
Yeah, he's shouting down this guy who's just there presenting the architectural plans for his mosque in a community meeting. And then suddenly they all turn it into, let's bash the Muslim guy.
Right.
And let's bash all the Muslims in our community. You know what? You know all that crap we were saying about religious freedom last summer? Screw that. Forget that.
Just don't, you know?
That was three months ago.
It's infuriating, the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, you know, just it was just a few months ago that they were bitching about religious freedom. Religious freedom, religious freedom.
Yep.
But we all know that religious freedom only means for Christians.
It's Christian freedom. By the way, Christian freedom to defy the will of the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there. We've got coming up, we've got our favorite pastor, Pastor Robert Jeffress of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on Fox News Channel with Gretchen Carlson and had the cojones to say that there's no such thing as Christian terrorism.
Wow.
Which I thought was hilarious. Well, we're going to play that in a little bit. But first, the big news of the day was that not just the Republicans, but the Republicans and 48 House Democrats voted to block the entry of Syrian refugees into the United States. This is the latest news. 47 House Democrats, or it was 47, broke with the White House on Thursday to vote for a bill aimed at pausing admittances of Syrian and Iraqi refugees by adding requirements to an already lengthy screening process and putting pressure on intelligence, law enforcement, and Homeland Security officials to act with caution. Remember, again, these were Republicans, by the way, who the summer of 2013 were apoplectic about Barack Obama's NSA metadata collection. I'm saying that sarcastically. It's not Barack Obama didn't start it, but they were blaming him. for the metadata collection and wigging out. We played on Tuesday's show Sean Hannity having a hissy fit about Barack Obama's NSA spying. Good Lord. And now it's just not enough. Everyone coming in has got to be screened even more so than they would have been screened already. The Obama administration threatened to veto on Wednesday evening, but a number of Democrats peeled off anyway under significant pressure from constituents to act after terrorist attacks in Paris last week. The bill passed 289 to 137 with enough support to override a veto, should there be one. Some Democrats say the legislation simply wasn't as bad as the administration made it out to be, even after a briefing earlier in the day with White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough and Secretary of Homeland Security Jeff Johnson. By the way, that's his actual name. I don't know if anyone knows this. His first name is Jeff. It's Jeff Johnson. Quote, "It wasn't what it was characterized as, so why would we oppose that?" said Representative Jerry Connolly, Democrat of Virginia. He voted for the bill Thursday. This is all just pandering to the fear of the yokels.
Yeah, it's dumb hicks. Did you see the piece that Hamilton Nolan wrote in Gawker?
He said that the
headline was something like, "The biggest threat to this country is dumb hicks." And that's it. That's what they are. They're dumb. They're stupid, terrified hicks pandering to their stupid, terrified rabble base.
Well, the good news is that the dumb hicks are going to give us nominee Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Which is becoming more and more evident as time goes on. I mean, we're just over 2 months away from Iowa. And I just don't see there being, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I don't see there being any other challenger who's going to usurp Donald Trump.
No, I do think you're right.
I just don't think there's enough
time.
And
the more insane thing he says, and the more the country starts in not an objective way, but in a subjective way, as far as the yokels are concerned, the more the country goes to, quote unquote, goes to shit.
Mm-hmm.
The better he's going to do.
Oh yeah, totally.
And his proposals, his fucking insane. I never use this term. His insane Nazi-like proposals.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought this country was capable of that. I never thought we were going to be. I mean, I know that we've got people who are insane nationalistic reactionary right wingers, but I never thought that we would be the kind of place that allows one of them to rise through the ranks of our political system.
Well, this guy, I don't think he believes a goddamn word that he says. I'm speaking of Donald Trump. But what he's doing is he's probably the most effective panderer to that yokel, that redneck yokel demographic that we've probably ever seen. Maybe even more so than George W. Bush, because even George W. Bush stepped out in front of cameras after 9/11 and said, "Look, the enemy is not all of Islam." And of course, Donald Trump steps out in front of cameras after an attack in Paris, France, the Freedom Fries people, and says that, you know, well, everyone's the enemy. So every Muslim is the enemy. We have to give them special IDs, he said. That was the new one today. We're going to basically label all Muslims, Muslim Americans who have constitutional rights, who are just as American as Chez or I am. And so now they're going to have to go around.
I don't know, man. You know, though, they can hide those IDs. I think what they really need is patches on their clothing and maybe a tattoo somewhere.
Tattoo, barcode maybe on their wrists, a number. They could be numbered with a tattoo.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, when you're busy rounding up the 11 million people in this country and putting them on their trains to head for an undisclosed location somewhere, I assume at the border. You know, you could do it to the Muslims too. Just pack them up, put them on a train, and send them someplace where they can think really, really hard about their role in American society. A concentration camp, if you will.
Yeah. The trains will be big, beautiful trains.
They will. They'll be big, beautiful trains with a big, beautiful door that leads right into an oven.
Do you know, I don't know if we covered this on the show. Do you know that Donald Trump once said, it was about a month ago, that he said he was going to create a big, beautiful refuge inside Syria?
Safety zone. Big, beautiful safe zone.
Big, beautiful safe zone inside Syria.
He's just a fucking joke.
I mean, my God. I'm going to build a big, beautiful safe zone inside Syria. It'll be so big and beautiful, your head will explode, and your legs will fall off, and your testicles will draw up into your body. That's how big and beautiful it'll be. Here's what he said about the IDs. Quote, we're going to have to do things that we never did before. Some people are going to be upset about it, but I think that now everybody is feeling that security is going to rule. Is feeling that security is going to rule. And certain things will be...
He's just talking off the cuff.
Yeah. And certain things will be done that we never thought would happen in this country in terms of
information. And there it is. Look at that. You know what? We're basically going to have to violate our own laws. And you know, the terrorists have won. They've changed our way of life.
Yep, that's right.
Drastically.
I mean, already we're eating into the free exercise clause in the First Amendment, which I thought, based on all of the screeching last summer, was sacrosanct, that we just can't touch that. Especially if it means using religion to gay bash. But of course, just peacefully practicing your Islamic faith in the United States, you could be multi-generational American practicing Islam inside the United States, and Donald Trump wants to put a big, beautiful tattoo on your arm.
It'll be a big, beautiful, crescent that we'll put on. We'll tattoo it on them, big and beautiful, so that our snipers that stand in nests up on top of buildings will be able to spot them.
You'll be able to wear big, beautiful striped onesies.
Yeah.
Quote, certain things will be done that we never thought would happen in this country in terms of information and learning about the enemy. So we're going to have to do certain things that were frankly unthinkable a year ago. We're going to have to look at a lot of things very closely. We're going to have to look at the mosques. We're going to have to look very, very carefully. That's an actual Donald Trump quote read verbatim. Well, I would hate to do it, but it's something that you're going to have to strongly consider because some of the ideas and some of the hatred, the absolute hatred, is coming from these areas. He's talking about potentially closing mosques.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not going to create more people who absolutely despise us if you just completely prosecute everyone who's a Muslim.
Here it is again. Quote, what I like is, : build a safe zone in Syria. Build a big, beautiful safe zone, and you have
with a big, beautiful door.
Big, beautiful door, and you have whatever it is, so people can live.
Whatever it is, so people can live. Wow, he's really got that. He's really got that down pat.
It's really down to the specifics,
isn't
it?
It's very detailed. It's a very detailed plan he's got that he just pulled out of his fucking orange ass.
And you have whatever it is, so people can live. And they'll be happier with all of those things so they can live in the big, beautiful, safe zone.
I'll bring my glasses and my shoes so I can have them.
I can't see, goddammit. It'll cost you tremendously much less. Because Trump repeats everything. It'll cost you tremendously much less. Got to get the papers. And they'll be there and the weather's the same. Nice They'll reference. Be there and the weather's the same.
Wow. That's so awesome.
It'll be like they're on a cruise ship, right? They'll have the all-you-can-eat buffet. The weather's always the same. Jesus Christ. What an absolute buffoon. And then he was saying the other day that Barack Obama doesn't care about the details.
Yeah.
Barack Obama, the wonkiest president we've had probably since Carter. And he doesn't care about the details. Meanwhile, Trump's going around saying things like, you know, they'll have whatever it is so people can live.
They eat pita, right? Isn't that what they... Just get him some pita.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more show right after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to our Thursday show. Thank you for joining us today. Well, Yeah, so now if we have President Trump, which, by the way, is never going to happen, he may get the nomination, but he's never going to win the general. This stuff, I mean, what he's doing is he's completely miscalculating. He's thinking that he's going to be able to get away with just completely pandering to the yokel base during the primaries, and then that'll be okay when he hits the general election. Like, no one will remember any of this. When he's got to get the centrist votes, when he's got to get the undecided votes.
Right.
And he's not going to be able to. None of this stuff is going to play. You're not going to be able to tell undecided voters, yeah, I'm going to build a big, beautiful safe zone in Syria where the weather's always the same and they'll have whatever it is they need to live.
No, yeah, not okay. at all.
No, not going to work. Not going to work.
And I think that's, you know, I don't want to go down this path again, but I think that's one of the reasons, as much as, you know, again, I always have to preface it with, I think Bernie's awesome, mm-hmm. but I don't think Bernie Sanders stands a chance for the simple reason that he is a socialist, a democratic socialist or not. And there is a difference. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All that one word will stick with him.
Right.
And the idea of, if it were to come down to it, a battle between a socialist or a lunatic, you know, democratic socialist, fine, let's just call him a socialist, or a lunatic like Donald Trump, and a lunatic like Donald Trump, imagine the decision that people have there.
Mm-hmm.
They need some other place to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you got a lot of Republicans who will never in a million years vote for f***ing somebody who says they're a socialist.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, I think there are
Republicans. You got a lot of people on the, you know, independents on the fence who won't vote for somebody who's a socialist.
That's true. But I don't know if that's necessarily Bernie Sanders' biggest liability. I think his biggest liability.
No, I think there are far more.
Yeah, I mean, I think he gets a little awkward when he's talking about foreign policy.
Yeah, it's like that to me is a big deal. And again, one of the reasons why I do, you know, I'm pragmatic. Mm-hmm. And I do support Clinton, but one of the very, very legitimate reasons is that she knows her fucking she knows her foreign policy.
Yeah, she does. That's true. And obviously being Secretary of State helped, but even before that, she was very up to speed on foreign policy, mainly because she was essentially Bill Clinton's right-hand woman for, you know, Bill Clinton's two terms. And there were lots of foreign policy challenges during the 90s. And so she's got, you know, basically 20 years of experience. I mean, that's not too shabby. I think Bernie Sanders is a smart guy, and I think he would be able to learn quickly. But I think in terms of actually selling himself to the public, that's a completely different challenge. And so what he's got to do is he's got to be up to snuff on foreign policy with the same degree of articulation and enthusiasm and charisma that he is when he's talking about the 1% versus the 99% and the 99%, right. The 1% gets all, you know, and because he's really good at all that. But then you ask him about foreign policy and he seems that you see the gears kind of grinding a little bit.
Right.
And by the way, not nearly as grinding as the gears in Ben Carson's head when it comes to foreign policy.
Who's not being talked about anymore?
Ben Carson. Yeah, Ben Carson fading fast. And what a surprise. What a surprise. Under any sort of scrutiny, even the Republicans are going to start turning their backs from an idiot.
You heard the new thing with him, with Armstrong Williams and one of his advisors?
No, he's one of Carson's advisors is like a racist, isn't he?
No. This is the latest thing. And this is just, you know, this is just such a wonderful example of the kind of just what the f***ery that permeates his campaign, you know, that is just pervasive among his campaign. So apparently, you know that New York Times report that came out that said that Carson's people are admitting that basically he doesn't really know much when it comes to foreign policy.
Oh, yeah.
And that they're trying to school him in foreign policy and trying to get him sort of up to speed. Well, apparently the guy I'm reading off of this here, apparently the guy who is advising him mm-hmm. is a guy named an ex-CIA agent named Dwayne Claridge. And he's the one who talked to the New York Times. And he just said, he actually said, we have to make him smart. And I'm making sure that we tell people that, you know, like, look, you know what he hasn't been willing to sit down. We haven't gotten a chance to sit down and really school him. And when we have, he doesn't really pay attention. He doesn't really know what the hell is going on. So after this report, Jesus. Obviously the Carson campaign is circling the wagons, but here's the absolute best part of it. Mm-hmm. In response to this, in response to the story, which they're denying and shouting at the Times about, they accuse them. They call Claridge here's what they call him. They say the Times, Carson's campaign alleges, quote, took advantage of an elderly gentleman and used him as their foil in this story in an affront to good journalistic practices. That old man would be Claridge, who is supposedly one of his top advisors. Well, they're denying that this guy is an advisor for Ben Cohen, even though he obviously very much is. But the best
You mean Ben Carson, not Ben Cohen.
Ben Carson. I'm sorry, Ben Cohen. Wow, listen to me. I'm talking about my boss.
Luke.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Ben Carson. Pardon me. Yes. So anyway, but here's the best part. So they're trying to get answers out of them, mm-hmm. and this is what they say in Gawker. A counterpoint. It was Ben Carson's closest advisor, Armstrong Williams, who recommended that we talk to Mr. Claridge and described Mr. Claridge as a mentor to Mr. Carson on foreign policy. So in other words, Armstrong Williams, who is the mastermind of Ben Carson's campaign, gave the Times this guy to talk to, and now they're denying him. Now they're calling him an old man and so on.
Yeah.
And when they found this out, this is what Ben Carson's campaign said. Carson's campaign calls Williams, he was a longtime friend, business manager, and spokesperson for Ben Carson, who reportedly edited his recent Washington Post op-ed. They said that he does not speak for Carson and, quote, has nothing to do with his campaign.
Oh, my God.
They're now denying Armstrong Williams, who is basically the head of the fucking campaign.
Jesus Christ.
Like, wait, Armstrong Williams? What are you talking about? I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Armstrong Williams. Yeah, he's the guy that we've been talking to for the past 6 months. He's the one who's in charge of your campaign. I don't know any Armstrong Williams.
Yeah, by the way, Armstrong Williams paid propagandists for the Bush administration.
Yep. Absolutely.
Remember that?
He used to work for CNN.
Jesus Christ. The wheels have fallen off the Carson campaign officially.
I would say completely.
The other wheels already started to fall off. The last one just fell off. And what made it worse was that they issued that stupid map of the United States that completely flummoxed New England. I mean, New England, what the hell?
Awesome.
Yeah, what the goddamn hell is that all about?
You know what it is? It's that, and you can see it in this thing that I just, you know, up reading to you. Mm-hmm. But this is an incompetent campaign.
Yeah.
It's run by a bunch of nobodies, and it's just completely incompetent.
Yeah, right.
He is an incompetent fucking candidate.
At the Ben Carson website, they posted a graphic that says, "We're saying no. We're supporting the majority of our nation's governors and saying no to Syrian refugees." And they made a map showing all of the states where governors have said no to allowing Syrian refugees into their states. And in case you haven't seen this, well, put it this way. There's suddenly like shorefront property in Vermont because they've taken
New York has the same thing. New York suddenly has a bunch of new East Coast beachfront property.
That's right. They've taken Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine and stacked it up on top of what appears to be Connecticut, which now adjoins the top of Vermont, which is in the right place. But, I mean, everything else is in the right place. I mean, there's no Hawaii or Alaska represented here, but who cares about those states? But the stupid New England is all scrambled. And I don't know why they thought that this was going to be okay and that no one would notice. Or how did this even happen? I mean, I guess, I don't know. It's not Ben Carson. I mean, Ben Carson didn't sit there and doodle the map. Obviously, right. Someone else did it, but Ben Carson is hiring his staff. Ben Carson is hiring people who then subsequently hire other people, and this is just indicative of, well, you know, if he's ever president, heaven forbid, he's going to be selecting people to serve in his administration, and what kinds of idiots is he going to choose for those roles? If he can't choose people who know how to create a map of the United States, then how the hell is he going to pick advisors, cabinet members, sub-cabinet members? It's going to be like Paper Willie. He's just going to have a bunch of paper bag hand puppets, right?
They're going to have like one of those pictures, you know, like they always, they take the pictures at the long table of the president and his cabinet members. And it's going to be like a paper bag with a face on it, an old broom, like a fern. There's going to be like a plant there. And like a couple of Muppets, like, "This is my cabinet."
"Welcome to the very first cabinet meeting of President Ben Carson part one. I'd like to welcome you all today. Say hi to Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese.
He has a lot of political experience. He's been the mayor of the same town for 45 years.
All you can't remember, say hi to my vice president. This is here is, maybe you haven't met him yet. This is Vice President Paper Willie. Say hello, Paper Willie.
Go fuck yourself, all you motherfuckers!
Oh, don't be mean to the cabinet members, Paper Willie.
I will, especially Mayor McCheese. I want to take a big bite out of his big head. The big quarter pounder with cheese. I was just going to bite him right in the face.
Well, don't you do that to Mayor McCheese. He's a good man. Or hamburger. Or half hamburger, half man hybrid. Even though...
My new Secretary of State is this Groot doll that I picked up at Spencer Gifts. What do you have to say, Secretary of State Groot?
I am Groot.
You're so adorable. I preferred you when you were baby Groot, inside the potted plant. And you were doing that funny dance. Can you do that dance? Do that dance for us, Groot toy from Spencer Gifts?
So yeah, I mean, it's completely idiotic, and no wonder. I guess we've seen the threshold of what it takes for the Republicans to reject someone for being just too stupid. And of course, no, it's got to be Ben Carson. Donald Trump is acceptable because Donald Trump has charisma.
Right.
And the hair. And big, beautiful doors and safe zones. So I guess he's okay. He's permissible. Going to take another break and come back with more show after this. Hey, folks, Bob here. Unlike the neck-bearded millennials, I shave every damn day. And for the last few weeks, I've been using Harry's shaving products, and I'll never go back to the stores for blades or ever pay those prices again. The Harry's razor fits in my hand and it fits my face. It's a quick and comfortable shave with really smooth results. See, Harry's was started by a couple of guys who passionately wanted to make shaving a better experience. In the process, they bought a German factory that's been making these engineered blades for 100 years. That means no more middleman, no more middleman prices. The blades come straight from that factory at factory prices. Now you can get a Harry's starter kit for just $10 if you use the code RELM, R-E-L-M, when you go to harrys.com. That's the razor, a month's supply of blades, and a lathering gel so thick you'll swear it's a dessert topping. And a little travel case to keep your blade fresh on the road. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. And say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code RELM at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month of great shaves for just $10. Use the code RELM at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, so Black Friday is a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so instead of going to Walmart or wherever the hell you go for Black Friday, where people go for Black Friday, instead of doing that, stay in your house, go to bobsesca.com. Right under the logo, you'll see text that says Amazon link. Click that link. It takes you to the front page of amazon.com. Go shopping, buy all of your Christmas crap, and then and that helps support the show because everything you buy, we get a small commission from. It costs you nothing extra, and it helps support the show. So thank you in advance for using our Amazon link. Okay, so moving along here, let's go back. Let's rewind back to the whole issue with the refugees and terrorism and Republicans' xenophobia and bigotry and blah, 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 blah. Barack Obama had this great run this week in which he just went off on the scaredy cat Republicans. And that's what they are. They're being cowards and they're pandering to cowards. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Yes, is there a threat from radical Islam? And I'm saying radical Islam, by the way. Thank you very much. I'll say it. Like it really matters. Whatever you want to call it, it's terrorism. There is a threat. All right, we can't downplay necessarily the threat. But what we don't want to do is get just incoherently crazy about it and do ridiculous things that undermine who we are as a nation and our American values. And that's exactly what the Republicans are doing. That's what they've been doing since Friday. Just repeatedly. They just can't help themselves. They're reading off a script. They're resurrecting. Everything old is new again. Let's rewind back to 2001 and bring out all the same crap. Just waiting for the Lee Greenwood song. Any day now. I'm going to start playing the Lee Greenwood
song. I love that song so much. You have no idea. Because the entire chorus is a giant grammatical error.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. Thank you, Lee.
Right. That is the... I am so glad that it has not been rolled out yet because it is easily the worst...
Stop. Don't play that.
It's the worst thing in the world.
This makes Republicans weep instantly. Lee Greenwood, God bless the USA.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again.
By the way, the video on YouTube that goes along with the song, the first two shots were shots of the World Trade Center's burning. And now I'm seeing, like, pictures of flags on people's doors. See, now, it's only a matter of time before they get really deeply into this.
Stop, man.
You know,
I feel like I'm in a bar in Orlando.
You know, there are some people who don't know this song.
They're very lucky.
This is all for all the Republican trolls listening to the show today. Have fun in your your uncontrollable sobbing. Right now they're just they're just crying. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. All right, why did I start talking about that? Oh, yeah, so Barack Obama went off on the Republicans today, just them being just complete whiny diaper babies about all of this crap. Instead of doing the right thing, which is coming up with a sensible strategy to take on ISIS, to effing eradicate them like they should be, and there are very specific solutions for that, but the Republicans aren't coming up with anything that would actually work toward that end. So here's Barack Obama telling them so.
We are not well served when, in response to a terrorist attack, we descend into fear and panic. We don't make good decisions if it's based on hysteria or an exaggeration of risks. When candidates say we wouldn't admit three-year-old orphans, that's political posturing. When individuals say that we should have a religious test and that only Christians, proven Christians, should be admitted, that's offensive.
And by the way, how is that possibly going to happen? Are they going to do the shibboleth test? I mean, literally the shibboleth test? Like, are they going to quiz the refugees as they come over about biblical verses? You know, I was raised Catholic. If you started quizzing me about biblical verses, like the details found in certain passages of the Bible, I wouldn't know what the hell to say. I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I'm certainly not a Muslim.
Yeah, they're going to ask. It's going to be a quiz. Take a look at this coffee cup, this Starbucks cup. Tell me what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Nope. Ah, you're gone.
If you have a beard, are you not Christian? I mean, what the hell? How is that going to work?
Please run everybody out of Williamsburg.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, none of the hipsters, if there are hipster Syrians, not a single damn one of them will be able to get in. They'll have their giant beards, their giant Civil War beards, which I still don't understand. You know what I don't understand is the man bun. Have you seen the man bun? I'm sure you have.
I love that you're asking this like it's a new thing.
I know.
Yes, well, I live in Los Angeles. I've seen the man bun.
Yeah, and I've seen on Facebook the man bun merkin, by the way. You can get the man bun wig to put over your actual hair so you look like you have a man bun. And by the way, if you have a man bun, I don't even want to know you. All right, let's get back to Obama here.
Contrary to American values, I cannot think of a more potent recruitment tool for ISIL than some of the rhetoric that's been coming out of here during the course of this debate. ISIL seeks to exploit the idea that there is a war between Islam and the West. And when you start seeing individuals in positions of responsibility suggesting that Christians are more worthy of protection than Muslims are in a war-torn land, that feeds the ISIL narrative.
You know, the Republicans are objectively wrong here. And I wonder if any of them realize it. And they're going, well, we're saying whatever we can. Because we know we're wrong. We're just saying whatever we have to say to get through the day. Because it seems like that would have to be the case. I mean, I can't imagine that they actually believe they're genuinely right. I would maybe does a majority of them believe that they're right? Or does a majority of them think, oh, we're way off base on this, but we got to keep going with the same line? I mean, do they hear themselves? Do they know that the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination is saying that we need to give IDs to all Muslim Americans, we need to close down mosques, and any mosque that we leave open, we have to surveil those mosques? This is the guy who you're nominating, Republicans.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jesus. I mean, do they not care?
I genuinely don't think so. I'm starting, you know, when I was a kid, I can't remember what class it was, or something in high school. We did the Catcher in the Rye versus Lord of the Flies thing. Did you ever have to do that?
No.
You know, to look at their worldview and how the worldview of those two books was opposite. Mm-hmm. The worldview of Catcher in the Rye is that people are intrinsically good and society makes them bad. And Lord of the Flies was people are intrinsically evil and society bends them in. That's why when the kids are stranded, they go completely nuts.
Yeah.
And I used to believe in the whole Catcher of the Rye theory, that mm-hmm. people are basically good.
Yeah.
I don't think so now. You know what? Yeah, actually, a combination of both. I used to think that, you know, people were good and that society hopefully made them in some ways better. And it's just not the case. People are dumb.
Yeah, they really are
dumb. I'm really starting to believe this. And the more afraid they get, the dumber they get.
Yeah, I like Bill Maher's line recently. He said it on Stephen Colbert, in fact, the other night. He said that he's come a long way with regards to his opinion on whether the election cycle in the United States, the presidential election cycle specifically, is too long. And he actually says it's not long enough, indeed, because Americans are slow and dim-witted and we need a long time to decide. Because it takes Americans a long time to suss people out like Ben Carson. Like if the election had been held 3 weeks ago, Ben Carson might be the nominee of the Republican Party.
That's true. We're not very bright.
No. It takes us a long time to figure crap out. And Bill Maher is exactly right on that. We do need the 2+ year election cycle. Otherwise, we're just going to be electing more idiots. We already elect a bunch of idiots, but now we're going to be electing more of them if we shorten the election cycle to, like, the France length or the Great Britain length. It's just going to be a big, big mistake. We're going to take one last break, and we're going to talk about Ted Cruz's response to Barack Obama's rant this week, in which Obama, as we just played, called out the Republicans. We're going to play Ted Cruz's idiotic response to it right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Really?
Boys? Yay!
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
See previous trolling Chez remarks. from Tuesday's show. And you know what? I actually kind of like this song, so it's a bonus. I like the song, plus it trolls Chess.
Every Poison song is exactly the same.
I know.
Yeah. There's like a formula for creating them.
Yeah, there really is.
At the beginning, you have to have like Brett going, woo, ha ha. He always laughs.
Yeah.
And then on the first mute, like when the snare first comes in, when it first, you know, you get the first crescendo, he has to say some kind of exclamation like, yeah, feels good, something like that. And then, of course, he's got to throw to CC and, you know, give him, play some guitar, CC, whatever. And then at the very end of the song, he always repeats the chorus. He talks it. So at the end, when the song's like kind of dropping out and they're just, you know, playing instruments, he's like, you know, like for nothing but a good time. He's like, don't get better, baby. Don't get better. For that one, I'm sure he says, you know, Unskinny Bop, kids, Unskinny Bop, yeah.
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, most songs between 1986 and 1988 or so, like that two-year span right there, most of the metal songs sounded exactly the same. All the hair metals. They all had the same sort of tinny production value. But to me,
that
just
like that. Well, that whole era, you know, that was off of, I love that I know this, that was off of Flesh and Blood. Mm. So that was post, you know, post the top of the heap for Poison.
Yeah, that was about.
And yeah, there was that whole period of like the late 80s and very early 90s when metal had no idea what to do with itself.
No,
you know, the cowboy hat types were dying. Guns N' Roses had brought sleaze in and it basically pushed all the, you know, all the aside.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had Jane's Addiction and bands that were combinations for the first time, sort of alternative metal.
Yeah. And you know,
that was what everybody forgets. That's what dominated like 1989 to maybe 91. And then Nirvana arrived and that was it.
Exactly. And I was like that scene from The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Yeah. Where he's talking to Mira Sorvino in that bar, and they're like, grunge, God bless the 80s, because they were into the 80s metal and all that crap, and realizing that grunge utterly destroyed the last vestiges of 80s superficiality.
Well, you know where hair metal went.
Well, it just became...
Country.
Became country. That's exactly right.
It's country music. Sure. All of that, you know, all of that sort of naked sexism and, hey, we just want to have a good time and party and drink. You know, now it's like, you know, it used to be riding motorcycles and drinking Jack, and now it's got a cool, tall, cool one sitting by the river with my honey in her skin-tight blue jeans and my pickup truck, and that's your f-ing song right there.
Right. Well, you could take out Unskinny Bop out of the Poison song and replace it with Red Solo Cup. I mean, just, you do the same thing. You say, Unskinny Bop, and you go do the Toby Keith Red Solo Cup song.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ. The hit country single of what, 2014, or maybe it was 2013, was that Red Solo Cup. It was a song entirely about the plastic cups that you drink beer out of at a party.
Yeah, exactly. Which, like,
you can totally see that,
you know,
in the metal, metal song.
And that, by the way, that's the point. This is definitely post stuff, but yeah. That's the point where you finally graduate to adulthood. I haven't been to a goddamn party where I've had to fucking walk around with a goddamn solo cup in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy about that.
Right.
Every party I go to now has real glasses. Mm-hmm. You know, the food is good. You know, fuck you and your red solo cups. The if you do that kind of crap, you're a child.
Red solo cup, I fill you up. And we're going to have a party. I can't believe I even know that song. God.
So those are the actual words to it, because I
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up, and we're gonna partay.
Wow, that's genius right there.
It really is.
That's poet laureate.
All right, let's get to Ted Cruz's response to the president. Ted Cruz called out the president, basically challenged him to what sounded like a fight. It ended up being like a debate. Like Ted Cruz wants to debate Barack Obama. But he basically said to Barack Obama,
"You say that to my face. I dare you to say it to my face,"
with his fake sincerity and his squishy,
flaccid little doughy prick.
Grandpa Munster squishy face.
"I dare you to say it to my face, Mr. President."
Here's Ted Cruz.
Well, I will say it's fairly remarkable that President Obama has now chosen 2 days in a row to attack me directly. He just called me offensive the day before. He called me un-American. You know, I think that's really quite rich that he chose to make both of those insults on foreign soil while he was abroad, attacking me and attacking everyone else in this country who believes we should not be bringing in tens of thousands of Syrian Muslim refugees.
But it's okay to bring in tens of thousands of Cuban refugees that included his father.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, they're freeing communism. That's all that, trust me, I'm from Miami. That's all they care about. That's why you got the communist thing behind you. Oh, man, I'm just fleeing communism. Mm. You're set. Because, I mean, look at the Haitians.
By the
way, I've watched Cubans. I watched within literally 24 hours of each other, a boat of Cubans showed up and, hey, come on, welcome. And then a boat of Haitians and get your fucking asses back. You know, we'll pile you in the same boat. You're on your way back to Haiti, fuckers.
That's right. And Ted Cruz is lying, by the way. Barack Obama never said anything about Ted Cruz personally. Because you know why? Barack Obama's smart. And he's not going to directly call out,
an idiot.
An idiot like Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Ted Cruz doesn't matter.
Used car salesman is what he is. You know what? He's worse than a used car salesman. Ted Cruz is like those Hoover vacuum salesmen. And they show up at your door and they offer you a 2-liter Coke and a free carpet cleaning. So you say, oh, great idea. Come on in. You can clean my carpet. And it turns out they clean like 1 square foot of it. And then they try to sell you a Hoover vacuum and they never f-ing leave. Mm. Yeah. That's what Ted Cruz is like.
That the Obama administration cannot vet to determine whether or not they are ISIS terrorists. I got to tell you, it is utterly unbefitting of a president to be engaging in those kind of personal insults and attacks. And, you know,
a personal insult and attack, no.
It wasn't.
Wow, I keep forgetting that, like, we are not in the post yet, and I'm just rattling off swear words.
By the way, I feel so much better because Dean Obadala, who's a regular on the Stephanie Miller Show, he said the S word on Wednesday.
Oh,
I feel so much better. And then Stuttering John had to bleep him. I had to dump the, use the 7-second delay. Felt so much better about my S word bomb from last week. Someone else actually did it. Sort of. Thank you. So I'm the check's in the mail, Dean.
He talked about how he was belittling the Republican field as scared. Well, let me suggest something, Mr. President. If you want to insult me, you can do it overseas. You can do it in Turkey. You can do it in foreign countries.
Well, yeah, by the way, he was kind of alluding to Ted Cruz a little bit because I think he said something to the effect of CNBC. He said, well, this was last week. He said something, well, if you're afraid of CNBC moderators, how right. do you expect to go against Putin? And that's true.
Right.
Ted Cruz is also saying that his rant during the CNBC debate makes him presidential. Shows that he has the ability to take on tough guys on the foreign stage, on the international
stage. Right, yeah.
Because
John Harwood.
John Harwood.
He can take on John Harwood and Carl Quintanilla.
John Woodhair. He totally took on John Woodhair and won. Good for him. Hey, congratulations, Ted Cruz. You're a superhero for taking on John Harwood. He really needed to be put in his place. One of the most milquetoast reporters in cable news right now. And Ted Cruz totally owned that guy.
Whatever. Well, I would encourage you, Mr. President, come back and insult me to my face. Oh. Let's have a debate on Syrian refugees right now. We can do it anywhere you want. I prefer it in the United States and not overseas where you're making the insults. It's easy to toss a cheap insult when no one can respond. But let's have a debate. We'll do it on any station. I'm sure any one of the TV stations would be glad to host it. And let's have a debate on your refugee policy.
No,
the President of the United States is not going to sit and have a debate with you, you f***ing buffoon.
Yeah, nobody. He doesn't go around to freshman senator demagogues and debate them individually.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not how it works. Sorry. And besides, a debate with Ted Cruz would be entirely useless. You think Ted Cruz is ever going to concede a point to anybody? I mean, the guy sat in front of the entire nation and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sign up for an insurance policy through Obamacare. And then I'm also going to make sure that I repeal Obamacare. He eventually didn't sign up for an Obamacare policy. At least that's what he says. But he was going to, and he set the plans in the works to do it. And then decided, hey, you know what? Maybe not a good idea. But he never once admitted that. Never came out and said, you know what? Kind of a mistake to go down that direction. Kind of hypocritical. He'll never do it. Those debates are useless. Debating anybody is kind of a waste of time. Especially if you want to participate in a debate where the moderators don't ask you challenging, hard questions that make you feel small and weak and insignificant and stupid. like most of these Republican candidates should feel in these debates, because that's how they behave. Okay, we didn't get to the Pastor Jeffress Christian terrorism thing. We're going to talk about that in the post-mortem show. So if you want to hear us talk about our favorite pastor, Pastor Robert Jeffress, and the Lord Jesus Christ, make sure to sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. You can become a supporter of the show. If you sign up at the $5 a month level, you'll get the post-mortem show. $10 level, you get the post-mortem show and the after party. $15 level, you get the post-mortem show, the after party, and an unbleeped, not safe for work, commercial-free version of this year's show. Once again, Tuesday will be our last show before Thanksgiving. We're going to take Thursday and Friday off next week, but we'll be back the following week. And I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about, as long as the Republicans keep acting like bigoted, yokel, pandering morons. We'll talk about that. All right, post-mortem show coming up next. See you on the after party on Friday, folks. Bye-bye.